Hello, and thanks for joining us today for a monthly legal podcast with Missouri Press Association Hotline Attorney Gene Manicky. This is Dawn Kitchell, Education Director for Missouri Press, and Gene's guests for this program are Jim Robertson, Managing Editor for the Columbia Daily Tribune, and Dave Barry, publisher of 8 neighbor newspapers in Southwest Missouri, including the Bolivar Herald Free Press, and Vice President of Community Publishers Incorporated. Today, they'll discuss the issues surrounding right to privacy for public figures. If you have more questions about topics covered in this podcast or any newspaper-related legal questions, Gene is available to give advice to active members of the Missouri Press Association at no charge. At the end of this program, we'll provide contact information for Gene, and you can always find that information on our website, www.mopress.com. Gene Manicky has served as a Missouri Press legal hotline attorney since 1992. Her firm, the Manicky Law Group, is based in Kansas City, Missouri. Let's get started talking about privacy with Gene, Jim, and Dave.
Hello, I'm glad you both can be here with me today to talk about this issue. What we want to talk about dates back to a couple weeks ago. I was talking to a college class, and one of the students in the back of the room raised his hand and asked me why the media feels it's so important to cover the affair that Tiger Woods has had lately. And his point was that Tiger Woods is a well-known golfer, but what does this have to do with his golfing reputation? And why is it so important to the national media to cover this? I thought that was an interesting question, and I frankly was a little surprised that a journalism student would have that question. But I think it's something that we need to think about once in a while. And so I'm glad you're both here today. That's what I want to address. Let's talk a little bit about why the media covers the private life of public figures. Why do you think we do that?
Reader interest, number one. It's the huge overriding factor. A person like Tiger Woods is a very, very, very public figure. He's not only a world-class athlete, a hero to millions of people. He's a spokesman for various commercial interests that, depend on him for his squeaky, clean image.
Sure.
And
his wife and his children.
That's right. He's a family guy. He's a great-looking family. Everything's perfect in Tiger's world. And then when it goes off the track, people just can't get enough of it. He's actually human. He's like we are. So there's a natural interest in seeing things blow up like that for famous people. Part of what we do is give our readers what they want. They have to take the soup with it too, the good stuff, but the things they need. But this is a really overwhelmingly interesting story for people. And that's why it's getting so much attention.
Dave, what's your perspective on this?
I think you used the singular there, too, when you mentioned the affair. And he might have been able to get under the radar with one. But what really took on traction there was when all of the others started showing up.
And, sure.
And I truly wish that we as people didn't care as much about that story as we do. But Jim's absolutely right. There's an immense amount of attention to it. If any man in history had ever thrust himself into the vortex of public affairs, it would be Tiger with his prowess on the golf course and as a commercial spokesman. So there's definitely that interest. You know, we spend an awful lot of time in our industry trying to get people to care about things that they should, and that's a difficult task. But we also have that burden of providing them what they want, even if it's something we would rather they spend that energy on caring about the next election or school tax issue or something that's coming up. So.
Well, and that raises an interesting question, too. Clearly, we've had this same situation develop with John Edwards recently. Does the national media spend too much time focused on this? What about the issue of the National Enquirer and their involvement in these kinds of stories?
The Edwards story is interesting because it took so long to really get into the mainstream media. And the Enquirer actually carried that story. If it weren't for the Enquirer, I don't know that it ever would have become public. And for Edwards at the time was running for president. He was a Democratic candidate in the primaries. And, you know, it's a thing where John Edwards had cultivated kind of a squeaky clean image. You know, the family guy, he's supporting his wife who was ill, you know, and it just seemed like a great American story. And then, you know, you've got this tawdry relationship behind the scenes with somebody working in his campaign that he actually fathered a child with. And so it's a legitimate story. There's no doubt about it. He was lying to the American people. He was lying to his wife. We want a liar to be president. And clearly, you know, he lost steam after that revelation. Should the New York Times, the Washington Post, should the national papers have hit it hard instead of letting the Inquirer slug it out? In hindsight, sure, yeah. But I think that it was, they just didn't want to believe the story. They didn't have any proof in hand, and they didn't want to work too hard to get it.
That raises some questions in terms of your right to privacy versus your public figure. Dave, do you have some thoughts about where you draw that line on right to privacy?
It's a subject on the small town you take very, very seriously, not to say that it's not taken seriously at other levels, but it's closer to home. We've always said that when you step out your door of an office in a small town, you're going to face the newsmakers a lot more readily than if you were on the 53rd floor of some office building in New York City. So you think about those things. You know these people. You see them around town. You go to church with them. You golf with them. So you understand the consequences of definitely being wrong about something. So, you know, there's a very, very high standard to prove that, first of all, is this true, that what people may think is going on, is it true? I also put a test, is it illegal? If it's illegal, then it's something we definitely need to be worried about. If it's a public official if it's sexual, and it might not be illegal for two consensual people to be doing it, is it illegal because it involves a public official who has authority over somebody that, and under the auspices of that authority, is exerting themselves on someone else who doesn't feel like they can say no? All of those are issues, and it's a tough test. Maybe tougher at a local level, a small town level, than on the national scale, but I can't say for sure. I've never been there. I only know my own neighborhood, and I know it's a tough issue when it comes up. I know we've missed stories that would have been very sensational, only because I didn't think I could get to the point of being able to prove it to be true. Or even if I thought I could prove it to be true, I wasn't sure it met the test of something that maybe everybody else in town already knew what I thought I knew. And would I really be telling them anything new in the newspaper? So,
you know, it's interesting when you make a decision like on a story like that, and we all do, a certain number of readers are going to be mad at you for either doing the story or not doing the story. They think you're trying to protect somebody. And if you do the story, then a certain number of readers will think that you're being unfair, that's none of your business, none of everybody else's business. It's a private matter. And so you really do have to weigh everything you talked about very carefully, and then just, you know, have your own compass where it needs to be and go ahead.
There can be situations where something's rolling along and it's probably, yes, it's a public official in one context, but maybe what this person is doing is a private matter until something else brings it on the radar screen. But in conversation a while ago, Jim brought up the point about an issue with a councilman, I think it was, that at a public meeting, someone raised the issue about what he might be doing on some of his off time, and that, because it was said at a public meeting, and we've had instances like that too at our level. I can't think of any examples right now, but that rung true when you were mentioning that made it, at least temporarily, that's a window under which he was thrust into a different level of privacy or lack thereof.
I want to talk about some local situations that we run into, but let's take a break here and we'll come back in a minute and do that.
Yep.
Are you looking for good information on legal topics important to your newspaper? A great place to start is the Missouri Press podcast page at www.mopress.com. We've got more than a dozen programs archived there on topics from libel to hosting open forums. Need a primer on how the Missouri legislative system works? We've got that. Looking for information on the Missouri court system? We've got that. Interested in Peter Wagner's take on the future of community newspapers? You guessed it, we've got that. We even have podcasts with Tonda Rush, NNA's lobbyist in Washington, giving you an insider's look at what's hot. It's all just a click away. Visit mopress.com today.
Let's try to bring this down to a local level. It's much easier to see that these stories are important when we're dealing with presidential candidates or high-profile public officials in the United States or celebrities. What about when you're dealing with local officials, when you're dealing with a city councilman or when you're dealing with the mayor or a police officer in town? How do you make a decision about when you cover these kinds of stories and whether their private actions are something that the public needs to know about? Dave, you talked a little about your test that you have. Run through those again, and let's think about those issues that you raised.
The first thing is, you have to be able to prove it. And
right.
And my personal preference, not everybody does this, but you see, I'm not sure that any news in today's world would ever come out of Washington, D.C. if they had the same standard I do, because I believe in identifying sources, and it doesn't seem like anyone there can say anything without being an unidentified source. So they operate in a different world than I do. But I would have to be able to prove something to be true. I would have to have more than one person to be able to corroborate that and to be able to make it be true. But then the other tests go into, so what if I can prove it? Is it something that really matters? Again, is it illegal?
Right.
And again, if it is illegal and I can prove it, then it's probably going to be news no matter how uncomfortable my life may become.
Or if it involves public funds, I assume that's another issue.
Absolutely. Sure. Which, again, that would be, I'd probably fall under the category of illegal. If right. If it's the misappropriation of money, public money that's supporting something that's that's just not right, then it has to become news. But just yesterday, I had the occasion with a public official who was accusing us of in advance that of a story that may come up in regard to a controversy that it would be between one of our advertisers and city government, and it was a widely thought belief. He thought that. That we naturally would take the side of our advertiser and would be bashing the city. And I assured him that I believe there's probably more people who would accuse us of being in the pocket of the city than our advertisers, so it probably equals out. But I was able to share with him a story of where I at one time was sitting across the desk from our number one advertiser, who was suggesting that we needed to cover city news a little differently. We needed to back off from the way it was being covered at that point in time. And I knew pretty well that the mayor was the one who had asked him to have us back off. And I took a deep breath and said, well, this is a situation where if anyone was sitting in that audience hearing what we heard would probably be ready to accuse us of not having been as tough as we needed to be.
Sure.
And the fact that other people were sitting in that room should serve as an indication to you that you're wasting your money by putting your ads in our paper, because we'd have no credibility. So I'm sorry that we are at this point, but we will continue to cover it. And if it changes from where it is now, it'll probably become more aggressive instead of less. And I was pleased that about 30 days later, I was engaged in conversation with him about business he interrupted it and said, oh, by the way, that conversation we had about a month ago, he said, you were absolutely right, go after him. And so it's a situation where people are ready to believe that the newspaper is going to protect some people and they're not going to protect other people. So it's something I take very seriously. If we're going to take on one person that we think something's going on, we may be able to prove it, and maybe I can prove this one, but over on the other side, there's somebody I truly suspect may be just as guilty, but the proof is lacking. I have to ask myself, am I going to hang one and leave the other one alone and have people believing that that we had ulterior motives for going after one? So,
right.
And who's to say I'm right about any of that? It's just one of those decisions you have to make. And actually, as a publisher today, I don't have to make very many of those decisions. Those are being made by the editors who are where I used to be, and I can blame them sometimes. So,
Jim, I bet you have situations like this too.
We do. Dave mentioned the public official a little while ago about in the election forum. It's an interesting case because this is the second election cycle where this certain public official has been a candidate, won the last one. Very tough campaign, nasty campaign. The supporters of his opponent came to us various times saying, well, you know, this person has some domestic dispute issues 20 years ago. You should really look those up, you know. And so we looked at the file, and there didn't seem to be much relevant to a city council race. And this was the last election cycle for 4 years, 3 years ago. And this allegation about his happy hour habits was out there the last cycle too. But we would ask his colleagues, and there was, it's no big deal, you know, there's nothing. So we didn't feel like the situation warranted an invasion of his privacy at that level.
Right.
It came up in a public setting, his happy hour habits. So that gave us, it was good because it gave us a chance to get it out on the table, I thought, without us looking like we dredged it up.
Remember, the public brought it up.
Exactly. So we explored that issue in a story. And then here come the allegations again about the domestic dispute 20 years ago, and why are you guys hiding this, you know? I've looked at that situation, and I can't see where it's relevant to today. I could be criticized for that by readers, and I am. Mm-hmm. But that's where I stand on that. If it becomes public, then we've got to report it.
Sure.
Let me jump in here with going back to the tiger mm-hmm. situation. I can't swear this to be true or whatever, but I just suspect that the golf media probably had some awareness. They may deny it or whatever, but the people who follow the golf tour probably had some inkling that Tiger was straying in some way, shape, or form. Probably had no interest in going after that. Probably treated that like it was his private life and what all. But once the National Enquirer did what they did, there's no looking back. It's out there, and it has to be covered. Now, you raised the issue a while ago, was the mainstream media negligent in not having covered that earlier? Were they negligent in the Edwards case for not having covered it earlier, when some of them may have also thought? But in both of those cases, neither one of those gentlemen were probably put in a situation where they had to lie. No one was asking them, is it true, or do you do this, or have you done that? And like so many other things, it isn't until the lie and the cover-up starts, that's where things get a whole lot worse. That goes all the way back to Watergate. So if somebody just stood up and said, yes, we did it, it probably would have went away a lot faster.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you've both raised some interesting issues for our readers and our listeners to think about, and I appreciate you being here today. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
A special thanks to Jim Robertson of the Columbia Daily Tribune and Dave Barry of Neighbor Newspapers for joining Gene on the program today. We hope this discussion has given you some perspective on how they approach privacy issues in their newsrooms. A valuable benefit of membership in the Missouri Press Association is legal hotline services. Active members may contact Gene directly for advice and answers to legal issues. Gene can be reached by telephone at 816-753-9000 or by email at jmanicky@manickylaw.com. You can find this contact information anytime on the Missouri Press Association website at www.mopress.com. The website also provides links to Gene's blog and current and back issues of Missouri Press News Magazine, which features a monthly column by Gene. This is Dawn Kitchell. I hope you'll join us for the next legal podcast from the Missouri Press Foundation.